Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic episode of the Silsila The Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, we are hoping that yourself and your family members are safe and sound. But please do keep the Ummah in your du'as. In some part of the world, they would be going through great trials and difficulties, great tribulations and challenges at the hands, especially of oppressors. Make du'a for them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them protection against those trials, against those calamities and oppressors as well. Ameen bi jahi khatimin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we are going to be discussing poetry in Islam and what are the different types of poetries, which types of poetry we are not allowed to listen to, and some other details inshallah azza wa jal. But before that, let's recall the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi, the intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make some good intentions that, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to this silsila of Madani Channel for your pleasure and happiness, for your rida, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well, inshaAllah Azza wa Jal. Whatever other good intentions you can think of, make it now to gain maximum rewards from the court of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And it's so important for you and I, whenever we're watching any silsila or show of Madani Channel, try to keep a notebook aside. Try to keep a diary so that we write down, we jot down the important Madani pearls of advices, and we can always refer to it at a later stage. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, you share this with your family members. If you want extra rewards, share it with fellow Muslims as well. Because let's say, for example, if you forget to practice upon that, but the ones that you shared it with, even one person practiced upon it, every time they practice upon what you shared with them of ilmun nafi'a, beneficial knowledge, then you also get reward. You also get reward without any reduction in their thawab, in their reward, subhanAllah. And if we practice, then we will taste the sweetness of our knowledge. If we want to taste that sweetness of the knowledge, then we practice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With good intentions, we practice, subhanallah azza wa jal. There are so many wonderful blessings for reciting salawat, durood-e paak, or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the ummah, our most merciful master, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in a summary of a narration, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, that the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, Sayyidina Mawla Ali karamullahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem, he says, whenever you pass by a masjid, they recite salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How wonderful is that? We need to make up our mindset as Muslims. Because a Muslim is that person who submits to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Not submitting to my will, my opinions, my thoughts, my ideas. If they conflict with the Sharia, the Islamic secret law of Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that's a mindset I need to live my life by. Because sooner than I know, sooner than I realize, I'm going to return to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. What answer am I going to have on the Day of Judgment when there's accountability? If I live my life anyhow, like other people out there, they're going to be judged and I'm going to be judged. So let's make up our mindset that every single day of our lives, I must dedicate some time. I need to take out some time. I know we all say, I'm just too busy, I'm preoccupied and work and this and that. And we need to take out some time. How we take out time for everything else, for the dentist appointment or for the optometrist appointment, this appointment, this meeting, or we take out time, we make sure we go for holiday and for recreational activities. We need to take out some time for our own benefit, for our own benefit. Take out some time, dedicate some time every day to recite some amount of Qur'an Pak. Amir al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatum al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islamiyah, great Kamil Wali of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He advises us, minimum, 3 verses of the Qur'an. Recite every day. With translation from Kanzul Iman. And in English, Tafsir, the commentary, Miftahul Ihsan is available. You can download all of this from DawoodIslami.net. Along with that, you can download hundreds and hundreds of books and booklets in English. Subhanallah, on diverse topics. And many of those are translated into over 30 different languages for the benefit of the Ummah. Dawud Islam is there for the benefit of the Ummah. To uplift the Ummah, to empower the Ummah with authentic Islamic knowledge. So take out some time, recite some Qur'an-i-Pak, Durud-i-Pak. Durud-i-Pak minimum every day should be 313 times. Make this your goal, your target. And work your way towards that. Recite some dhikrullah, istighfar, and seeking knowledge of deen from authentic sources which Dawud Islami provides. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Before we go any further on the topic of poetry in Islam, please listen to this beautiful kalam. And this is also poetry. This is poetry. This is Naat Sharif. This is a kalam in praise of the beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Listen, enjoy, and derive some inspiration as well. And we'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mustafa jani rahmat, shama'i bazmi hidayat sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam ka farmane alishan hai ki jo koi shaks mujh par ek baar durud-e-paak padhe, Allah azza wa jal us par apni 10 rahmatein nazil farmata hai, uske 10 gunahon ko mitata hai aur اس کے 10 درجات کو بلند فرماتا ہے آج جو کلام آپ سننے جا رہے ہیں اس میں آپ کو بار بار درود پاک پڑھنے کا موقع ملے گا آئیے نعت رسول مقبول بھی سنیے اور درود پاک کے ورد میں شامل ہو جائیے
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
سچی بات سکھاتے یہ ہے سیدھی راہ دکھاتے یہ ہے
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
جلتی جانیں بجھاتے یہ ہیں جلتی جانیں بجھاتے یہ ہیں روتی آنکھیں ہنساتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
قصر دنا تک کس کی رسائی قصر دنا تک کس کی رسائی جاتے یہ ہیں آتے یہ ہیں صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
فیض جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو فیض جلیل خلیل سے پوچھو آگ میں باغ کھلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
انا اعطیناک الکوثر کوثر ساری کثرت پاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رب ہے معطی یہ ہے قاسم رزق اس کا ہے کھلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے اپنی بنی ہم آپ بگاڑے کون بنائے بناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن لاکھوں بلائیں کروڑوں دشمن کون بچائے بچاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر مرکد میں بندوں کو تھپک کر میٹھی نیند سلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے باپ جہاں بیٹے سے بھاگے لطف وہاں فرماتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ماں جب چھوڑے ماں جب اکلوتے کو چھوڑے آ آ کہہ کے بلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا میٹھا میٹھا پیتے ہم ہیں پلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے سلم سلم کی ڈھارس سے پل پر ہم کو چلاتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ کہہ دو رضا سے خوش ہو خوش رہ مجدہ رضا کا سناتے یہ ہے صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ عز و جل, what a splendid kalam, and we had the beautiful sights of Madina Tayyiba, zadahullahu sharafa wa ta'zima, of the grand green emerald dome. Subhanallah, subhanallah. May Allah jalla jalaluhu take us there. Take us to visit Madina Sharif time and again. Take us to visit Aqsa Sharif time and again. Take us for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Ameen bijahin nabiyin ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, poetry in Islam. You know, there could be some individuals out there, maybe yourself, that feels like, you know, I wish I could write a poem, a poetry in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Poetry is of different kinds. This was used extensively by the people of Arabia, by the Arabs. And even in pre-Islamic Arabia, poetry was used as a way of remembering the history of the ancestors of the Arabs, the different types of events that had taken place, or to express their tribal intentions or the tribal customs. So poetry was used extensively, and people of Arabia, the Arabs, they were masters in poetry. They would communicate and they would collect, or you could say how today we compile things in the book form. This wasn't common, it wasn't commonplace in that time, but they were used to collect and compile the events of the past, especially of their different tribes, in poetic form, in the glorious Quran. Yes, the glorious Quran has a certain kind of rhythm to it, but it's not a book of poetry. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't sent as a poet. He was sent as the last prophet of Allah jalla jalaluhu to call the people towards tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship only Allah. This is what he came for. And the Quran, it stands the test of time, that nobody, even the Arabs with all their mighty poetry and their great oration and oratory skills and eloquence with regards to poetry in the Arabic language, they couldn't come close to the verses of the glorious Quran. The Quran even gave the challenge that, you know, who can bring something like the Quran, or even a few verses it is mentioned. Until today, over 1400 years later, it hasn't been done, and it would never be done, because the Quran is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Jibreel Amin alayhi salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The glorious Quran, you just listen to it. You have some people today that, you know, they would have their earphones on whilst perhaps they are doing exercise, or they are going to the gym, or they're running on the road. And largely, they're busy listening to music because they have this idea taught by Shaitan, the devil himself, that music is food for the soul. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Those are the words of Shaitan. Through the music and the different genres of music, they are busy putting their subliminal messages. It grows hypocrisy in the heart, according to a narration, how water grows crops. That kind of poetry that is in music is of course not allowed, because the music itself is not allowed. So keep this in mind, that yes, the glorious Quran sounds very poetic, and a person would just love to listen to the ayat of the glorious Quran, but it's not a book of poetry. Neither is it a book of science or a history book, though it contains historical facts, scientific facts that are today are mesmerizing the scientific communities out there. Allahu Akbar. It is a book of hidayah. It is a book of guidance for the believers. And whoever is going to read and understand the Quran in its proper context by going to the proper tafasir and commentaries, they, through the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla and mercy of Allah, they will get that guidance. So subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla, poetry in itself is not something bad, but it could lead a person down the wrong path. Now there's different types of poetries. As a general word, we normally refer to it as kalam. A kalam could refer to hamd. Hamd meaning these kalams are praises of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or na'at sharif. Na'at sharif is exclusively praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have mankabat. Mankabat would refer to praises in poetic form, sahaba ikram, of Ahlul Bayt, of Awliya Allah. We have Munaja. Munaja is adu'as, like Ya Ilahi, Har Jaga Teri Ataka Saatuhu, and so many others as well. Then you would have Nazm or Nasheed. Nazm normally refers to poetry in praise of anything. Could be a tree, it could be the sky, the moon, the sun. So there's different types and categories as well. There's a thought-provoking booklet, which, if you want to learn more about this topic, obtain it from Maktabatul Madina, the hard copy. This is the publications department and bookshop of Dawud Islami, or download it for free from dawudislami.net. Go to the book section and type in questions about poetry answered by Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Dawud Barakatul Aliyah, and some very, very interesting points, some very, very educational and thought-provoking points as well. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah highlights some of the possible dangers that a person could face in writing poetry. And many people out there, maybe this shauq, this desire would be like, at least one poem I must write. Allahu Akbar. But be very careful. Be very careful that it is advised a person who knows the sciences of Quran and Hadith well, who knows the art of poetry, only that person should write poetry. Because there's a recommendation that a lay person, a person who has no true knowledge of Quran or Hadith or the art of poetry, should write poems. The science, for example, there are different terminologies, the science of urud, the different stanzas, the different couplets, the qafiya, the radif. So we need to keep this in mind, and what we are writing does not go against the Sharia. Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah himself has mentioned that he has seen poetry written by common people which does not contain befitting things in there. The person may feel like, no, this is poetry. So a person will just write anything and say, no, it's poetry, so anything is allowed. No, anything is not allowed. Everything is not allowed. A person could be writing certain things that may sound nice, may put a nice tune to it, but is it within the boundaries of Islamic law? How would a person know? And therefore it's advised that scholars, true scholars of Islam, they who know the art of poetry, like Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, that they put pen to paper and they write. And poetry can be, you know, with a tune, or it can be in prose as well. But in prose, without any tune, a person can praise the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can praise Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, Sahaba Ikram, Ahlul Bayt, or Awliya Allah, Subhanallah. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah also advises, if a lay person who's not a scholar of Islam does write some poetry, he should get it checked by a qualified scholar, a scholar of Islam who has expertise in this field of poetry, and then act upon their guidance. Because sometimes what could sound nice because the words are all rhyming, in reality, there could be a problem there. Because, see, poetry is one thing that could make a person very famous. And a person cannot avoid praises and could end up with hubbe jah, with love for fame, which is a disease, a spiritual disease. Only the one who is saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be protected. For example, you have the maqta. The maqta is actually the final stanza or couplet where the poet will include his pen name. Pen name, for example, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, his pen name in poetry especially was Raza. Our Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, his pen name is Attar. Some mashayikh, they would have Nuri, or they would have Salik, and like this and so forth. So a person like you and I, the lay public, they would know, if they have a little bit of knowledge of poetry, they would know, okay, in the maqda, in the final stanza and couplet, I will put my pen name in there. So when people recite it, then my pen name will also be recited. And it's mentioned that if somebody recites your kalam, my kalam, let's say I wrote some poetry, and I put my pen name in the end, in the maqta, the final stanza, couplet, and somebody did not recite the couplet of the maqta, where my pen name is, I may get saddened that, you know, the whole poem, such a nice poem, the person read so beautifully, but he didn't read my pen name, he didn't include my maqta in there. Maybe a person will say, hey, my brother, read the maqta as well. There's a danger here. There is a great danger that we are not there to judge. We can't judge people's intentions. The intention of a person is in their heart, in their mind. That person knows why they are writing the poem. Is it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is it for name and fame and to receive the praises of the people? If that is the intention, there's no reward for that. There will be punishment. There will be azab. We can't apply this to the pious predecessors. They would include their name. And we would know that, oh yes, okay, so Al-Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, he wrote this, yeah. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Damul Barakatuhu Mulaniya, he wrote this, yeah. Mufti Ahmad Yal Khan, Na'imi Rahmatullah Ali, he wrote this, yeah. Mufti Azim Hind Rahmatullah Ali, he wrote. So like this, they would include their pen name at the maqta, in the maqta itself. And we would know. In fact, it is mentioned, some pious predecessors did not even mention their names in some of their own books. Why? Because of a fear that it might be said to them on the day of judgment, you only wrote this book in order to become famous. Your name is well known. People used to praise you. So today on judgment day, there's nothing for you. And such people will be thrown into hellfire on their faces. So before taking pen to paper to write a poem, number one, what is the intention? What is the niyyah? What is my intention really? I need to really sincerely ask myself, do I want to earn thawab and reward for writing this? Do I have the necessary know-how, the art? Am I acquainted with the science of this field of poetry? Am I sitting with a qualified Sunni scholar who is an expert in this field to guide me if I want to? So all of these things need to be checked. They need to be checked regarding the intention, regarding what words I use, regarding getting checked by a scholar that has expertise in the field and the science of poetry. You know, it's mentioned in the Blessed Hadith that on the Day of Judgment, there will be three individuals, a scholar, a generous person, and one who was martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These three will be asked regarding their actions. The scholar will be asked regarding why he studied knowledge, about his knowledge itself, what he did. The generous person, about his generosity in helping people. And the martyr, regarding his martyrdom in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. They will all acknowledge the bounties of Allah. Listen to this carefully. This is a blessed hadith. Three individuals, a scholar, a generous person, and one martyred in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. They will be asked about those actions and they will acknowledge the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and express thanks to Him. They will say, we did such and such a service, we carried out such and such act of generosity, we did this, we did that. Do you know what it will be told to them? You did all of this so that you could be called a scholar, an alim. You could be called a generous person and a brave individual. Then they will be thrown into the hellfire. The intention was not right. Again, we are not there to judge people. We should judge ourselves. Why am I doing this action or that action? Why am I doing this good deed? Why am I writing this poem? Is it to please my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or is it to receive some name and fame in this temporary world from the people? That will be the reward of the person. The praises of the people, the fame that this person realizes, that will be the reward. So what is there for the hereafter? Under the blessed hadith that I just mentioned, Hakimul Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Da'imi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he writes, this applies to every action and every person should ponder over what will happen to the one who carries out an action in order to receive fame, to be known. There's a pleasure, there's a great pleasure in being famous. But look at the lives of some of the rich and famous people today. They don't have peace. As soon as they step out of their homes, they need bodyguards. Do you need a bodyguard to walk on the street? Because you're so well known in the world that, you know, people just want to surround you and get your autograph, your signature, to be in your company, to talk to you, to ask you questions. But thank Allah Azza wa Jal that we don't have this problem. Person will get suffocated that, you know what, I'm always surrounded by people I can't make a move without them taking a picture of me. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And then, if it's an embarrassing moment for me, they'll take a picture, put it in the newspaper, and my life, because I got no privacy. Allahu Akbar. So fame is not, it's all made out to be. That, hey, it's nice to be famous. A person may get some pleasure. But you know what, my name is known in, you know, these localities, in these countries, in the world. You know, I've got so many followers on social media. I've got so many videos, so many likes, millions or thousands or whatever it is. A person may feel like that. It's a deception. It's truly a deception. If it's done for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, to propagate the deen, but there, be careful, shaitan is, he doesn't want good actions to be done. And if you do the good action, he tries to corrupt the intention. Let's say, for example, you start off to write a poem in praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Naat Sharif, what we call, or Qasida, Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they used to do that. Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the famous poets in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to recite his poetry in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And sometime the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would take his blessed shawl and put it around the neck of Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So yes, this is proven from there, but the intentions were pure. The intentions were clean. So if I decide to write a poem, it could be that, okay, I'm making my intention, Ya Allah, to please you, to please Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm writing this poetry. Shaitan will jump in there with his waswasa, with his evil whisperings. He will try to corrupt that intention. Hey, you know, this really sounds so nice, so good, so unique. I'm sure, you know, people are going to enjoy it. And, you know, they're going to really call me a poet. Be careful for this. Be careful for the deceptions of shaitan. He's not going to leave us alone. So desire for the pleasure of Allah Almighty. Don't desire for the praises of the people. Because that is not lasting. That will just remain here in the world. So on one aspect is the writing of the poetry. We just mentioned that a person needs to know, to have knowledge of Quran and Hadith, so they don't make major mistakes that could border on kufr as well, with certain stanzas or certain verses, certain words as well. In poetry, you could find some individuals that say, Na'udhu billah upurwala, which means the man above. This is kufr. It is disbelief. We are not allowed to say this. And then we have some individuals who recite the authentic poetries and Naat Sharif and Kalams, but they would use the musical rhythms and rhymes, musical tunes that maybe some music is out there on this certain tune, and they would try to take that and implement it or apply it to the poetry itself. This also we should avoid. This is not allowed. It will remind people of the music if they listen to it. So rather, we get our poetry, if we are writing poetry, checked by an authentic Sunni alim who's also an expert in the field and science of poetry. This is the safest for us. You will catch certain words, certain phrases perhaps, that are actually against Islamic teachings and values. So that's one category of writing the poems. What about reciting the poems? Maybe a Naat Khan, somebody who is maybe the poet himself, the writer himself, will want to recite it. So here too there's a danger. This is being said in order to save ourselves from falling in the trap of hubbe jah, the desire for fame, from falling in the trap of making major mistakes and errors that could be sinful, where we think that, you know what, I've done a great job, I wrote a lovely poetry in praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I never get it checked, but and I'm reciting it also to the public, who I'm recording it and selling it. So why am I doing it? It all comes back to the intention. You know your intention, Allah Azza wa Jal knows the intention as well. Keep the intention pure. Do it the right way. Otherwise there's no need for it. Many ulama are there. There are thousands and thousands of Naat Sharif and Hamd, Mankabat, Munajat, Kalams that are available from authentic poets who are scholars as well, like Al Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, who put together a masterpiece poetry which itself you can give sermons and talks and bayans on his poetry. The compilation called Hadaiq-e Bakhshish. Allahu Akbar. If one can study that and learn the deen from that as well, because it was grounded in the Quran and the Hadith as well. Let's listen to a short clip regarding Hadaiq-e Bakhshish and how it is an encyclopedia of devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'll be right back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Hadaiq-e Bakhshish, an unprecedented and revolutionary Naat collection in the entire history of Urdu poetry, written by Ala Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. Each and every verse is a true reflection and God of the Holy Quran. Honor and dignity of the noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the Ahlul Bayt, and the blessed companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and blessed saints rahimahumullahu ta'ala. As Ala Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was well versed in other languages, Arabic and Persian, apart from Urdu. So he wrote Naat in other languages as well. Ala Hazrat Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, in his remarkable collection of Naat, Hadaiq-e Bakhshish, demonstrated such great eloquence along with the high expressive art that many contemporary and renowned poets and writers were dumbstruck when they witnessed the spiritual beauty of the words of poetry and could not help appreciating and applauding it. The devotional love of Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahle Sunnat, the founder of Da'at Islami, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Razavi Ziyai Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, towards the Hadaiq-e Bakhshish is matchless and distinctive enough that he keeps reciting the verses of Hadaiq-e Bakhshish from time to time. Even he urges his disciples and followers to keep it with them. In short, Hadaiq-e Bakhshish is that remarkable achievement, an unrivaled accomplishment of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahle Sunnat, Mawlana Shah Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, through which the fire of devotional love towards the noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has been kindling into millions of hearts. You can obtain Hadaiq-e Bakhshish from Maktabatul Madina. Inshallah azza wa jal, it will develop your devotion towards the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah azza wa jal. Hadaiq-e Bakhshish. Amazing, truly amazing. This is what it's about. These were the scholars that when they penned, their intention was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were drowned in the love, the ishq, the mahabba, the devotion to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so whatever poetry they had done was done in accordance within the boundaries and confines of the Sharia, the Islamic sacred law. Likewise, you'll find Wasaid-e Bakhshish of Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatul Aliya. These books you can actually download from dawoodislami.net as well. Subhanallah. And you go onto social media, you will find Naat Production, which is the official page of Dawood Islami. Instead of listening to things that have no benefit for us or lead to sin or music or all of these things, there's so much more to listen to. so much more. Allahu Akbar. Listen to the praises of Allah Azza wa Jal. Listen to the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to the praises of Sahaba Ikram, of Ahlul Bayt, of Awliya Allah. You will enjoy it and you will fill yourself with the ishq and Nabi, the ishq and love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will fill yourself with inspiration of Islam. And in the process, you will learn as well. Because the poetry of the scholars, of the ulama, they teach us as well. They teach us the deen. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And Alhamdulillah, yes, composing Na'atiya, Na'at Sharif, poetic praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a sunnah of the honorable companions, alayhim ridwan, as I mentioned. Sayyiduna Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyiduna Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyiduna Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he would praise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One narration mentions, he says that, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتُ عَيْنِي. Beautiful as you, my eyes have never seen. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءِ. And more beautiful than you, and more beautiful than you, a woman has never given birth to. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْمٍ. You have been created free from all defects. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءَ. It is indeed as if you have been created just as you wished. Allahu Akbar. This is true poetry. Coming from the heart to please Allah Azza wa Jal, to please Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam within the confines of the Islamic sacred law. And if you're penning your own, make sure it's penned in such a way that we get guidance from scholars who are experts in the field of poetry, in the science of poetry, because it's a very sensitive art. A person could unintentionally use words or could use comparisons that could lead towards sin, that could border on kufr and disbelief. Many people have made those mistakes. So be careful whose poetry you are listening to and also whose poetry you are reciting, if you are a reciter as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, Dawud Islam is there to guide us, to empower us with authentic knowledge so that we don't fall in the traps of shaitan and we become upright, good Muslims in society. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.